Let's turn our Psalters now to 255. Singing a portion of Psalm 95, versified and entitled Adoration and Submission. Let's rise to sing the first three stanzas of Psalter 255. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we turn to in our Bibles this morning. Continuing our series on Ephesians, we read the verses 22. We read at verse 22, beginning there, and read through to chapter 6. Verse 4. Wives, submit unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the Lord is the head of the wife, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thus far we read from God's word. The text for the sermon this morning is the first three verses that I read, verses 22 through 24. I'll read those verses again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Submission. Do you believe in that basic calling of the wife to submit to her husband? Beloved congregation, just the very thought and mention of the word submission calls to mind that the fact that submission is something that is rare and most unpopular. That whole concept of submission is rare and unpopular in the world that we live in today. Society has changed tremendously as to how it views women and how it relates to submission, and especially how it views women, with one particular movement, societal movement, the feminist movement, having made deep inroads into the thinking and practice of the world and also in the church world. But we should be clear, beloved, that the idea and practice of submission, even true biblical submission, is not something that derives from man. It didn't come from man. It's not the opinion of a past culture and ideology, even a present one of man. But rather, it is the very precept and command of God's timeless, the timeless word of the eternal, unchanging God himself. The word of God before us this morning is plain. Wives are called to submit to their husbands. And yet, having said that, the whole concept of submission in general is a much broader Christian calling. Submission is a calling of the Christian more broadly. Children are to submit to their parents in honoring them. Employees are subject to and are to submit to their employers as well. So that when this word of God is being brought this morning, most directly to wives and mothers in the congregation, let's understand that this word also is broad and has something to say to everyone, so we can all profit together from the instruction of true submission. But at the same time, the text is specific. Wives are called to submit to their husbands. That's what we consider most specifically, and understand that this is a difficult calling. Nevertheless, God not only gives that calling to the wife to submit to her husband, he also prescribes the God-ordained manner or way in which they are to do so, and as well, the reason for it. So let's take for our theme the text that we are considering this morning. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We'll notice in the first place that this is a difficult calling. We'll notice in the second place the God-ordained manner of it. And lastly, the divine reason or reason for it. That wives are called by God to submit to their husbands is plain, simple, and clear. Children, you saw that out of your Bibles, didn't you? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. The calling is plain and simple, and yet, beloved, every one of us here this morning recognizes the fact that this is a difficult calling. And a difficult calling from three points of view. Pressure from the world against obeying this calling. Pressure also from the church world at large from obeying this calling. But also the human nature within all of us that resists and pushes back on this calling. First things first, there is pressure from the world all around us, which is increasing in wickedness. And that pressure, you understand, is not only found in this country and nation, it is international. Take, for example, my own home country and homeland, where ethnic Chinese make up the sizable majority of the population. Traditionally, Chinese marriages, even when the marriages were unhappy, the wives glum and sullen, and the husband stern and authoritarian and no nonsense. In general, marriages were stable in society, meaning at least from this point of view that it was free from separation and divorce. And part of that, of course, was due to the fact that Chinese homes traditionally were one-income families, where the husband was the one who was the sole breadwinner of the home, and the wife and the mother the one who tended exclusively to the children and the needs of the home. But most of that stability in traditional Chinese marriages was rather more due to the fact that the wife's submission unto the husband was a strong traditional and cultural belief and practice. But while that held true in the 1970s and 80s when I was growing up, that changed so suddenly in the 90s, just within the span of a decade. That tradition and mindset of submission, at least external submission, fell to the wayside among the younger couples and was deemed more and more as old-fashioned and outmoded and outdated. Now, of course, much of the drastic change can be accounted for by the government's redesign, ambitious redesign of an economy to that of a two-person, full-income home and family, with wives having the same earning power as the husband, largely. And so the result of that was that the wife also was fulfilling the very same identical need of the home in exactly the same way. The result, with that earning power and functioning just as the husband in the exact same way, was that submission, the whole idea and concept and practice of submission, became more and more a thing of the past, and divorce rates within society rose very quickly and greatly. And we see that more and more also, not exactly, but identical trends happening in our society and world today, don't we? The recent spike, record high and spike in inflation, and it seems sustained. That recent high inflation that we are experiencing gives pressure to the husband and wife to both go out to work full time. And on top of that, uniquely to this society especially, is the impact, the deep and profound impact of the feminist movement in our nation. That movement, which continues to take its toll upon our society behind its popular rallying cry, equality of rights, equality of power, equal everything for women, equal, equal, equal. And so today, when it is made known that the Christian wife, the Bible-fearing, God-fearing, Bible-believing wife, submits to her husband, when that's made known, the response in the world to that very thought is that it is repugnant. It's foolishness. You what? You submit to your husband? You have your own rights. You have your own feminine rights. So get up and fight for your rights. And show them who's the boss. That's out there in the world all around us. But beloved, we should understand that the Church of Jesus Christ on earth is not a monastery which can lock away the influences of the world and keep at bay the thoughts, the philosophy, and mentality of the world. Now, of course, we Christians are called not to be of the world. We live in the world, but we are not to be of the world. But understand, beloved, that the Church of Jesus Christ has not been very successful, has it? With regard to her calling not to be of the world. The feminist movement takes its toll also in the church world at large. In many, many ways. I don't care to expound on that this morning, but just two main ways I want to point out for our need this morning. The feminist movement has promoted Bibles with gender-inclusive language that is gaining popularity and is being used in the church world more and more extensively. That first. But also secondly, the feminist movement has led to the church world embracing women office bearers. And not just deacons and elders, but also women clergy. That's the church world at large we live in. Also in our own circle. Attending an area minister breakfast at the funeral home, I sat next to a couple of female ministers. That's around us, all around us, and we should be aware of that. And so, beloved, our wives are up against it. They're really up against it with regard to the pressure they face from the world and the church world and circle we find ourselves in. Nor does that human nature that's within all of us help the matter. Not at all. That human nature in and of ourselves is such that the calling to submit is not merely difficult, it makes it impossible in respect to that nature all by itself. It's impossible. That's our nature. Our nature within us is such that it does not like to be told what to do. By nature, we do not do what we are told to do. We do the exact opposite of it. We like to be independent, in quotes. We like to be free. We like to exercise autonomy in and of ourselves. We like to live as we please. That's our nature. And that nature of your husband, wives, that nature of your husband makes this calling even more impossible. Nonetheless, the Word of God, the timeless Word of God, abides forever and stands. Wives, submit unto your own husbands. And understand too, beloved, that this calling to submit is not the only calling that God gives to the Christian wife and woman. Right from the get-go in the book of Genesis, it's plain that God called Eve, He made Eve and called Eve to be a helper to Adam. And that's a fundamental calling. And the Bible contains many more detailed callings for the Christian wife and woman. Open up your Bibles with me now to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, where we find several important callings, not often emphasized in the churches. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, and there within the framework of being a helper to a husband, we find these detailed callings spelled out to us. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. The aged, I don't like the word aged, and you, I know that you don't either, but really, the older women, likewise, referring to the older women in the church, the older women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, and now notice, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women, referring to the younger women in the church, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It's a lot going on here in these verses, but first things first, so from these verses, we find that there's a calling to the older Christian women in the church. Your call to be both teachers and examples, mainly teaching by example, but also teaching by instruction is not ruled out. Teachers and examples of godly behavior and godly and proper motherhood to the younger women. That's your calling, older women in the congregation. Your calling is to teach, to be examples. And if that be the case, then younger women, you have a calling here. Your calling is to pay attention and to learn. Learn. So, sisters in Christ, are you teaching? Are you setting a good example? Are you paying attention? Are you learning? This biblical dynamic of the life and organism of a church is not popularly made known by preachers from off the pulpits. and is not consciously embraced and practiced also among our churches to our own hurt. When Scripture gives such an injunction, understand that it is important, it is vital, and essential for the health and well-being of the church. And the way Scripture here communicates to us that this is a most important injunction is by the way it ends. Do these things that the Word of God may not be blasphemed. That's strong language. Strong language. We do well to give heed to these callings here that spelled out, and the calling of the godly behavior and motherhood, the calling to godly behavior and motherhood is spelled out very plainly in verse 5. Be discreet, be chaste, and now notice, be keepers at home. The word literally is workers, workers at home, so that the sphere of labor, the text is there communicating that the sphere of labor of the Christian wife is mainly in the home. Remember Psalm 128 and the vines that were within the house, not just by the sides outside, but within the house? That's the main sphere of labor of the Christian wife and mother. And what is her main task in the context of these verses? It's very plain. It's the spiritual nurture and care of the children, first of all, there, but also the husband. Love the children, love the husband, especially to nurture the children when they're home. And boy, those years go so quickly. All these callings imply and suggest that the Christian wife is called to submit to her husband. And rightly so, for this calling is indeed a basic calling. It's an important calling, and that's abundantly demonstrated in the Scriptures, both in the Old and New Testament. In the Old Testament, Eve was called to be a helper to Adam, but not Adam to Eve. You have that by way of implication. And on top of that, there's the example also of Sarah, who called Abraham and treated Abraham, her husband, as her lord. Submission is in the Old Testament, but also is found in the New Testament. Won't go through specific examples, to just give you scriptural proofs. 1 Peter chapter 3, Colossians 3, 1 Corinthians 11, and as well the book of Titus. When God calls Christian wives to submit to their husbands, understand that it means that wives are to put themselves under their husbands. They are appointed as ones under their husbands. They are called to arrange themselves under their husbands. Those are the various ways in which my Greek lexicon describes the word submit, explains the word submit. And our King James translators do justice to that idea when they tell us that wives further on are subject to their husbands. The calling then calls wives to put themselves under the husbands, and in putting themselves under them, they obey them. They obey them. And you will notice too, beloved, that this calling of the Christian wife to submit to her husband is a calling that is unconditional. It's unconditional. There are no conditions attached to this command of submission and implied obedience. And Scripture only gives one exception with regard to obedience. That is when, or if, God forbid, your husband tells you to sin, then you may not obey him. But even in your disobedience, your necessary disobedience, the attitude needs still to be that of submission and therefore reverence unto him. With that exception, that command unto wives to submit to your own husbands is not only unconditional, it includes everything. Notice the end of verse 24. And let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So it's a submission with regard to family life and living and family issues, but also a submission pertaining to personal lives and personal issues. And so there you have it. Scripture makes it plain in everything. And so the word of God seems so harsh, seems to be so cold and indifferent. Wives are to submit to their own husbands in everything. But let us be clear too, beloved, that the manner with regard to how wives are to submit to their husbands is made known, and it's equally important for us to note. God, in giving us the command and the command to wives to submit to the husbands, also prescribes the God-ordained manner of submission. And from a negative point of view, to begin with, let's deal with how wives are not to submit to their husbands. Christian wives must not merely say, "I'll submit," and so be kind of nice and polite to the husband. Bow your head, be subject, at least outwardly, to the husband, especially when guests are around, or when push comes to shove, when the rubber hits the road, that external submission doesn't continue on with more submission and true from the heart inward submission. Not that way. But also we should note, beloved, that we should be clear that wives, when wives submit to their husbands, it is not the end of all speech and communication. That the wife is completely silent, quiet in her submission. That's not the kind of submission that is spelled out in the text. It's not good for the wife to submit to her husband in silence. It's not healthy for the wife to submit to her husband in silence. It's not right for the wife to submit to her husband in silence. And if that silence persists over an extended period of time, a long, long, long time, let's understand, husbands, you should listen here carefully too, that will do all kinds of harm and damage to the marriage. At best, it's going to promote misunderstandings regularly between the husband and the wife. It's going to promote a lack of awareness between husband and wife in that relationship, so that your marriage will be just as unhappy as that traditional Chinese Oriental marriage. At best, and at worst, it's going to promote permanent, irreversible damage in your relationship with him. The fracture is going to deepen, leading to all kinds of terrible, bad stuff. Separation, divorce, and yes, as we see it evident in our churches. Spousal abuse. Wives, don't forget that your husband is both a saint and a sinner, and that he, like you, has but a small beginning of the new heartfelt love and obedience for him and for you. Divorce and spousal abuse and all kinds of quarreling, all kinds of unhappiness, and all kinds of profound, sad results in the marriage. That's not the way and the manner in which wives are to submit to their husbands. The text tells us very plainly, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. And that tells us two things. Two things. Number one, wives are not to be silent in their submission, but to speak the thoughts of their heart and mind to their husbands. Be free to do that while they submit to their husbands. That first. And second, the manner of submission is and must be from the heart. Number one, wives are to be non-silent, but speak. But speak. Because our submission, now referring to all of us here, our submission to him is not silent, is it? We are not quiet when we submit to the Lord, are we? We speak. We speak as friends. How do we speak? We pray. Pour ye out your heart to me, says the Lord. That's prayer. We speak to him in our submission. And that speech of prayer is the speech of intimate friendship. We Protestant Reformed people are right in standing for the doctrine of the unconditional covenant as a unconditional bond and relationship of friendship. We stand for good doctrine. We're willing to pay the price for separation so that we are a denomination that is united in that confession. But when it comes to practicing the life of the covenant, we have much to learn. And the broken marriages, and the spousal abuse, and the unhappiness among us in our denomination, throughout our denomination, tells us clearly we need to learn. And it's right here in this detail that is so important. Wives need to speak to their husbands reverently, thoughtfully, and in a proper tone of submission and love, just as we do that in our relationship with him. And here now is what we call to mind what was taught and preached last Sunday. Husbands, love your wives. How do we love our wife in this detailed, delicate area? We behave ourselves towards our wives to encourage that kind of speech. Not to shut the wife up, not to put our foot down as authority. We want to live as friend with him in that proper structure where she submits to us, but we want to promote and encourage such speech and communication in the marriage. And that all, beloved, is a practical implication arising out of that beautiful covenant doctrine which we hold dear to our hearts. In this submission, wives are to speak to husbands, and yes, husbands are called to love their wives by doing their utmost to promote that kind of speech, listening to their wives as intimate friend and companion through life. But also number two, the phrase, as unto the Lord, also teaches us that the submission of the wife needs to be from the heart. It's a willing submission. It's a joyful submission. Just as we sang leading in Psalter 255, leading into this sermon, adoration and submission, you count the number of times joy is set forth in the course of singing those first three stanzas. This is a joyful submission. Must be from the heart. We relate to him from the heart. So also, we are to relate to one another, the wife to the husband, from the heart. As unto the Lord, so also unto their husbands. And what reason does the Word of God give here for wives to submit to themselves, to their husbands? Well, verse 23 gives us the reason for this calling and really gives us a twofold reason. Note that the first part of the reason reads as follows in verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." And the idea there running throughout the entire reason that God gives is that of headship. The husband, who is a sinner, filled with all kinds of weaknesses, is the head of the wife. And the husband is the head. The wife is called, therefore, to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. That's God's arrangement. And note here, there's just one head in the marriage, not zero, nor two, just one head, and the head is the husband. Just imagine the chaos, beloved, and disharmony that would be in the home if there were two heads. Chaos and disharmony as to the discipline of the children, the treatment of the children. Chaos and disharmony as to the way things function and are run in the home. Chaos and disharmony as well in the marriage relationship. Constant fighting, quarreling, taking place. And that's all wrong. So wrong. The Lord doesn't bless such a marriage, beloved. In fact, in the way of disobedience, when the Word of God is ignored and disobeyed, when the wife becomes the head, whether or not the husband allows for it, the Lord stands against such a practice. For after all, the text also says, he is also the Savior of the body. And that leads us to the second reason. Second reason that God gives as to why wives must submit to their husbands. He is the Savior of the body. In other words, the idea is this. He gives to the Christian wife to fulfill this difficult calling because he has every right to. He is the Savior. The Savior of the body. He's the Savior also of the wife. The feminist movement is quick to point out women's rights. Our society points out human rights. But the unbelieving and ungodly world around us tosses out the whole concept of divine right. And that is the most important right for the Christian. Why? Because we belong to Him. We're His slaves and servants. Literally, the word servants in the King James means slaves. We're not our own. We belong to Him. We confess that as our only comfort. And the reason why we belong to Him is because He bought us with His precious blood. So live unto Him. But also, beloved, in this divine reason of the divine right of the Savior of the body is also the power. The power there is for the Christian wife to submit to her husband. For wasn't that how Jesus lived His entire life? He submitted completely to His Lord and God. Submission all the way through, from incarnation all the way to the cross. Perfect submissive power within Him. Communicated to you through the living bond of faith. Women and wives, you have the power to submit to your husband. So, use it. Use it, and use it not only for the good of your marriage, use it also for the good of your covenant home and family. And when these things happen in the covenant home and family, let's understand too that there will also be unity, joy, and prosperity, not only in our homes and marriages, but also in the broader family, the family of God in Jesus Christ here at KPRC. That's inevitably going to be the case. May it be so, and may it be so more and more unto His honor and His glory. Amen. Father in heaven, bless this word. May we take heed to the instruction and all of the admonitions and commands from it. Give us grace, O Lord, to learn more and more, to be better thinkers and implementers of Thy word by Thy Spirit. Hear us. And forgive us, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.